This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
So in the interest of full transparency for the voters, do you think it would help if you let your doctors brief the press before election night?
Calling Dr. Howard. Dr. Fine. Dr. Howard.
We've had our doctors just be very clear that they're here, that we're able to and fit to serve. And from my point,
Sidewind and bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is going to roll away, biscuit cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I've seen the dehumanization of Nancy Pelosi. I don't think anyone's been dehumanized like she has consistently.
Okay.
Look at the sewage that is online that they amplify on these networks and in social media to dehumanize people like Nancy Pelosi.
We literally have never done any of those things.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We've talked a lot about the first congressional district race in New Hampshire, the Seacoast race, and a new poll out today by St. Anselm's College shows that Caroline Leavitt has opened up a six-point lead on the incumbent, Chris Pappas. And Don Bolduc has opened the one-point lead. I guess that's within the margin of error on Maggie Hassan. A total turnaround from September when Bolduc was down 11 points. Now, the other congressional race in New Hampshire is in the second district. And Annie Custer has been there for a while, and she's opposed by Bob Burns, who is the Republican candidate. And that race was not thought to be very as close as the Caroline Leavitt Chris Pappas race. However, now I read today that the Democrat National Campaign Committee, they're shifting money around into races that weren't thought to be that much in doubt, but now they're shifting money into the second congressional district of New Hampshire. They're buying TV time out of Vermont, which covers the second district as largely the western part of New Hampshire. So we wanted to check in with Bob Burns, the Republican candidate. A lot of our listeners wanted us to have him on the air. So, Bob Burns, how is the campaign going, and what does it tell you that the National Democrats have decided to put money into protecting Custer?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've spent millions at this point. And, you know, we've actually had a couple recent polls. There was a recent poll that actually had me up a point against Custer. UNH also did a poll that had me within 3 points, the margin of error as well. So we're getting really, really close to her. And I've really gotten no support from the National Republicans. I've gotten like zero. She's spent millions on top of millions. I've spent about $100,000. Her rhetoric just isn't working. She's been bought off by Big Pharma. She's in the pocket of Viatris and Pfizer. She's with the companies that have been flooding our streets with opioids, and they just don't care.
So you haven't had any money for TV spots, right? I mean, she's been pummeling you, and with her own campaign accounts, and now she's getting national money coming in, but she still right. can't put you away.
No, she can't. I mean, the thing is I get it. I'm never going to get national Republican support because they're in the pockets of the same companies. I mean, let's face it. These people are you look at Pfizer, you look at Viatris, you look at the people who are flooding our streets with drugs. You look at the big corporations, the lobbyists, the lawyers, they give money to Republicans and Democrats, and I'm talking about all of it, and they hate what I'm saying. You know, I'm a true maverick out there fighting against corporate cronyism, and they can't stand it, and my message is penetrating through those commercials that are constantly attacking me. Constant lies. None of it's even close to true.
The Democrats were hoping that you would prevail over, I think, the mayor of Keene, New Hampshire, who was more moderate. I think they threw money into, promoting you and downing him. And now it seems to be backfiring, just like going after Chuck Morris to get Bolduc in as the Senate candidate. What does this tell you about their strategy
this
year?
Well, I mean, it's funny. They say more moderate. The guy I was running against, I mean, he was, he wanted to privatize Social Security. He wanted to get rid of Medicaid and Medicare. And then they said, I'm the Trump guy. But I was the Trump guy. I supported Trump. The other guy didn't support Trump. He didn't support Republicans. But again, he was bought off by all the same insiders, the crony capitalists that she is. So I think that was probably a dumb move on their part. And, you know, this message is clearly working against them. It was stupid of them to try to, if they put money into helping me out, they were attacking me for being a Trump guy. I am what I am.
So what's the plan here for the last week to get over the hump?
Well, we're doing a lot on social media, which is cheaper. I mean, the problem with you talk about network television, a single ad during a football game can be $16,000. I'm just not raising the millions that other candidates are. You know, so we're using social media, we're getting the message out there, and we're going to blow her away in the debates, because everything she has said about me is 100% a lie.
Are you going to have any more debates?
We have one debate.
So one more debate.
She's avoided every debate in every forum. She did one debate with me with NHPR, and she's going to do one debate on WMUR, the ABC affiliate here in New Hampshire.
What day is that?
Friday night.
Friday night, okay. Not a big TV night, but I guess that's part of her plan too, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't want to come debate me. She doesn't want to go to forums. They're scared of me. Everybody's scared of me. I get it. But we're trying to get the word out there.
Well, so tell people about your background in case they're not familiar with you. What's your background before politics?
Lifelong New Hampshire Republican. I've been involved in different presidential races in the past, like Mike Huckabee, Newt Gingrich, Donald Trump. I work in manufacturing. I do quality control and automation. We do a lot within the pharmaceutical industry. Pharmaceutical is candy. It's explosives. It's automotive. So we're all over the place, but we do a lot that's pharmaceutical as well. But it's quality control and automation. We make the stuff. I'm not a pharmaceutical salesperson or anything like that. We're just trying to keep jobs in America and make our drugs safer and cheaper.
All right. So where can people go if they want to get involved in the Bob Burns for Congress in the 2nd District campaign?
So my website is Burns for NH. So you can do FOR or the number 4, burnsfornh.com. So you can Google me, you'll find it.
All right. And you're looking for volunteer, not just money, but you're looking for volunteers too. You need people.
Yeah, I mean, particularly we got a week to go, so election day, people holding signs, making phone calls. Talk to the voters out there, and we need to put away the swamp. I'm running against a crony capitalist who's out there working for all the pharmaceutical companies, the same ones who jacked up, EpiPens by 300%, flooded our streets with opioids. She's getting huge kickbacks from them. She's made it easier to get opioids in the state of New Hampshire. So, and she's also lobbied on behalf of state rape drugs in the past. And she has, no apologies for it. No apologies.
Is Sununu involved in this race at all?
Nope. Sununu's done absolutely nothing to help me out. He wants to do everything he can to stop somebody like me. Same people.
He's kind of made up with Bolduc, though, so how come he's not, reconciled with you?
Because I'm not a corporate, I'm not corporate cronyism. I'm not going to bow down to these people. He's brought me in there to kiss the ring fingers and make the promises to the corporations out there, and I refuse to do it.
All right, Bob Burns, we wish you the best on next Tuesday, and good luck with the debate on Friday night against Annie Custer. We wish you
well. Thank you very much, Howie. A vote for me is a win for democracy.
Thank you. That's Bob Burns. He's the Republican candidate in the 2nd Congressional District in New Hampshire. And, as we said, there's new polls out tonight saying that Bolduc is ahead by 1 point. Caroline Leavitt is ahead, amazingly, by 6 points in this St. Anselm's poll. And and as you see, Bob Burns is hanging in there tight against Annie Custer, who's really sort of a lackluster congressperson over the years, and a backbencher's backbencher, you might say. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr, keeping the hacks on their toes every weekday from 3 to 7.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this. He's fighting for the little guy.
Ask him to go in there with all I've got. Win just one for the Kipper.
He's Howie Carr.
The holidays are right around the corner and I'm ready. Why? I use HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers delicious recipes and ingredients right to my door. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie65 and use code Howie65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you support COVID amnesty for petty tyrants and bureaucrats like Dr. Fauci?
No, I do not.
98% say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. Let's play a couple of these Fetterman cuts before we go to talk about pandemic amnesty again, because it really is a fascinating topic, I think. And by the way, someone who just moved to Keene says George Hansel, the Keene mayor, who was in the Republican primary defeated by Burns, oversaw a mask mandate that lasted longer than New York's. I was not happy to find that in place when I moved here in March of this year. All right. Okay, so this is Fetterman. He goes on with Don Lemon on CNN, just the recently demoted Don Lemon, and because you can't get a much more softball Democrat operative with a press pass than Don Lemon. But he still was just incomprehensible. He was asked about the main cause of inflation. Cut 11.
What do you think the biggest cause of inflation is, and should the Biden administration be doing more?
No, I just do. I think that simply is also, Leah, this talk about the trillions in massive tax cuts to the corporate tax structure is well true. You know, trillions of dollars that have added to the deficit, and now they still want to support those is well true. I think in terms of being very serious about addressing inflation is making sure that those rates are brought back into a line with what they should have been. Where they're able to fight the deficit.
As well true. By the way, when they cut the taxes in 2017, the tax revenue increased, as always happens in these cases. This happened when Jack Kennedy was president, when Ronald Reagan was president, and when Donald Trump was president. That's what happens. As good true, as he would say. So then he was asked about Elon Musk taking over Twitter. But try to take notes on this and try to diagram the sentences it comes out. Cut 12.
What is your message to him as he takes over this giant megaphone that is Twitter?
I just want to make sure that we use your enormous power to just make sure that, you know, we don't have the kind of platform where we push those kinds of theories. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to just say that, you know, given that we have this opportunity, just using the platform to really be about a force of good.
I have no idea what he said. He doesn't. I don't know. Maybe he knows. He just can't get it out. I don't know. So Don Lemon has to pretend to be a journalist. I don't know what the next stop is. He'd be taking over Jim Acosta's show on the weekends. You know, he's already been demoted once. He doesn't want to be demoted again. So he has to hit Fetterman with the obvious question, which is the release of his medical records. Cut 10.
So in the interest of full transparency for the voters, do you think it would help if you let your doctors brief the press before election night?
I think we've been pretty transparent. You know, we've had our doctors just be very clear that they're here, that we're able to and fit to serve. And from my point, you know, we've also been very transparent in terms of showing up at a debate and very transparent about, you know, having events in front of thousands and thousands of Pennsylvanians for months. And I was, again, it was no secret that I was going to miss some words. I was going to mush some words together. And as we've been very clear in the debate and during this interview, I've been using captioning as well. True, I believe we've been pretty transparent to give all the voters to make it their choice.
And listen, I'm asking the question for the voters, because then voters may wonder, is there a reason that you don't want your doctors to take questions? That's why I keep asking this.
No, I just believe that we have our doctors just weigh in on that, and they believe that I'm fit to serve.
The guy that's putting this out, Dr. Chen, is a campaign contributor. None of the people that were actually involved, I don't think, in his actual rehabilitation or, you know, his immediate care after he suffered the stroke in May, they haven't been questioned by reporters. I'm sure they're not taking any questions for obvious reasons. As well true, as he likes to say, or as he says, as well true, as well true. All right, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. This is by a woman named Emily Oster. She's from Brown University, and she's writing in The Atlantic. We went over a lot of this yesterday. The thing is, we didn't know. We didn't know. Most errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. Isn't that what everybody says who gets caught with their hand in the cookie jar? I was doing it for my family. I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to do the right thing. The people who got it right for whatever reason may want to gloat. Those who got it wrong for whatever reason may feel defensive and retrench into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. I would say asking for amnesty for your mistakes is getting defensive and retrenching into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. Getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. In some cases, I do believe it was a moral failing, because you were saying that you were better than those of us who were skeptical of the need to lock down society and basically destroy society. You had to, it was like Vietnam. You had to destroy society in order to save society. And now we're supposed to just say never mind. Treating pandemic choices as a scorecard on which some people racked up more points than others is preventing us from moving forward. That's what you say, because you think you're going to be pushed to the sidelines or worse if we do start keeping score on who was right and who was wrong, and who damaged society more and who damaged society less. 844-500-4242. A lot of comments about this. We'll take your calls on this. Should people be forgiven? As somebody pointed out, nobody asked for amnesty for good deeds, right? Exactly. And she also says, what about the people who wanted to inject bleach? Nobody wanted to inject bleach, okay? She's just showing her Trump derangement syndrome credentials off, which makes me think she's not a person of honor. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I like the conservative treehouse, and the guy that runs it is named Sundance, and he had a good response to this. I'm going to read. We're going to tell you, a lot of people want to talk about this, but I just want to read a little bit of his response. Leftist professor writing for Atlantic Magazine wants to let bygones be bygones and accept a pandemic amnesty. Sorry, Sundance says, not happening. The professional political leftists are starting to rebrand themselves as having fallen victim to the bureaucracy of COVID. And according to those high-minded people who think very highly of themselves, we are supposed to embrace their new enlightenment from the same people who were demanding our acquiescence to their dictates and sneering at those who did not comply. This example of the awakening from Brown University professor Emily Oster is supposed to be something I am told to appreciate. Fat chance. We are expected to appreciate the same people who demanded our acquiescence to every policy that was created by their absurd fear simply because they now admit, oops, my bad. Sorry, not happening. For 2 years, they shoved their intolerant fingers in our faces, destroyed lives and livelihoods, made ridiculous demands in order to sustain their own fear, threatened our children, destroyed the economy, used COVID as an excuse to destroy families and steal an election, attempted to force us to kneel at the altar of their mask-wearing and never-ending vaccine crap, took our jobs if we refused their mandates, and we're just supposed to what? Forgive them? I need to see these people destroyed with the heat of 1,000 supernovas. David Mamet had a famous saying. I repeat it often because it helps people break the cycle of abuse. Essentially, in order for Democrats, liberals, and progressives at all to maintain their illogical belief systems, they have to pretend not to know a lot of things. That sounds like Kathy Hochul in New York, come to think of it in a different context. By pretending not to know, the professional left carries no guilt, no actual connection to conscience. Denial of truth allows easier trespass, and that is exactly what Professor Oster is attempting in this article. Our parents were forced to die alone in isolation while we were forbidden from holding their hand or being with them. Thousands never had the opportunity to say goodbye. These people want forgiveness for that. I do not possess that capacity. I refuse to give any coming to the right side credit to these vile, intolerant, hate-filled, and insane leftists who demanded all the totalitarian BS they now accept as futile nonsense. Professor Oster et al. Should be shunned, mocked, and cast into the pit of irrelevance. The professional left must be destroyed with extreme prejudice. The professional political left could have stopped with us, but they did not. Instead, they came for our children, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think? I think that sums it up pretty well. I don't forgive them. 781 says, I will forgive the COVID tyrants 10,000 years after hell freezes over. I'll never forget. I've got a running list of local mass Karens and people who thought my medical decisions were their business, and I'll never let up. 617, it was all for the children. You know, all the people that are so excited about Roe v. Wade, or were excited when they thought they could make political hay out of it, they were all the exact same people who demanded that if you didn't get a vaccine, you could be fired, you could have your lives destroyed. You could be, in some cases, they wanted to separate you from your children. And yet, suddenly, when it came time for abortion, they were totally on the opposite side of the fence. It was our bodies, our choices, or our set, whatever it is. 844-500-4242. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Howie, I get so enraged when I listen to what's going on. What do you call it? What's going on with the
pandemic amnesty? The pandemic amnesty?
Amnesty. I mean, you've got, give me a break. Anybody knows what they're trying to do is pardon all these people who dug in for self-interest and hurt so many people in this country. And they're not doing it like because, you know, they go, oh, the science is wrong. What they're doing is because the repercussions of this are so far felt and have so many things in the future right now, they're going to dig into what the damage was that they did for their own self-interests. Now they want to bail out. Now they want to bail out and go, oh, we were pressured, this and that, you know. It's pathetic. It's like pleading innocent by means of insanity after you butchered your whole family.
The craziest line here is most errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. I mean, Charles Manson thought he was working for the good of society, didn't he? I mean, any criminal can say that. But it doesn't excuse you. It doesn't absolve you of the terrible, terrible decisions you made and all the lives you ruined, from the very oldest to the very youngest people in our society. It doesn't absolve you from ruining all these businesses, from ruining society, from and from stealing an election, as Sundance said. It's ridiculous. No COVID no pandemic amnesty. And the other thing is, if they get excused for this, it's like letting these people out of jail. There's a horrible story on the New York Post today about a guy who was he beat his wife. She was FaceTiming it. He was beating his wife. They let him out. This is in Hochul's hometown. They let him out. The next day, he ambushed the wife on the way to school, taking the three kids to school, and killed her, executed her in front of the kids. I mean, if you don't punish people. Even, you know, now they're claiming they didn't know what they were doing. They were gloating over their power. They were reveling in their power. You know, I always use the quote from Lord Acton. Someone quoted it to me last night on the text line. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's so, and this was a prime example of it. And I'll tell you another quote that comes to mind. It's from Henry Kissinger. Power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Don't you think it was for Fauci? Don't you think it was for Charlie Parker? Andrew Cuomo, Gretchen Whitmer, Phil Murphy, Pritzker, Katie Brown, all these jerks. They loved it. And they loved the fact that they were, you stay in your house. I'm telling you to stay in your house for Thanksgiving, and they're doing it on their way. They're in a limousine on their way to the airport, or in the case of the mayor of Austin, Texas, when he's actually in a Mexican resort, he's telling his constituents to stay in Austin because it's dangerous for everyone's health except for me because I'm sophisticated. Zebra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, Howie, listening to you, it's like echoes of Nuremberg. I was just following orders.
Right.
I hope they got that. Hey, there's two positives out of this. I'd like to say them real quick. One, they wouldn't be saying this if they didn't believe in the red wave. And two, it means they're scared and they know the evidence is there, the whistleblowers are there, and so are the stool pigeons. They know they're going to get caught. So no amnesty. You got to get convicted for a pardon. Sorry.
That's a good point, Zebra. And you know, a lot of years I've spent following people who one of their main concerns was, do you think so-and-so will stand up? You know, whether this was in the mob or at City Hall or at the State House, is so-and-so going to stand up? Zebra, I don't get the feeling there are a lot of stand-up guys in this crew. Do you?
Well, I think that there's varying degrees. We got stand-up guys that are certainly voicing, like yourself, but I think there's some that are on the edge.
I'm talking about in the organization. I'm talking about the guys who could be called in before the grand jury.
They're out there. They're out there.
They're gonna. It's like one of the guys once said. It's you bring the. They always talk about honor, but you bring them in, and it's like they're grabbing the tickets at the deli counter or at the bakery on Sunday morning. They're just grabbing the tickets and they're standing in line to rat you out, and that's exactly what's going to happen with Fauci and all these guys. They're all gonna rat them out. Thanks for the call. Phil, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Phil.
Howie, an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You absolutely just nailed it. The biggest thing, the thing that really fries my nose, as someone once said, is the fact that these people enjoyed it. I mean, you went to the Home Depot, and these people were right up in your face. You put your mask up over your nose, sir. Put your mask up over your nose. It was absolutely ridiculous. My daughter was in school. She had to wear a mask to school for an entire year. 4 years old, she had a chronic cough. She missed about 25 days of school. The absolute damage done to our society, jobs, everything. And these people enjoyed it.
Right. I know. You know, Gretchen Whitmer enjoyed the hell out of it. And Tudor Dixon called her out at the debate and said, do you realize that 60% of the third graders in Michigan are reading under the level that they should be reading under? You know, and again, you always have a certain percentage of kids that don't make the cut, but now it's much worse. How many years is it going to take to get the education system back online? And how about the silly crap that they did? How about the plexiglass over the bars? Or the plexiglass at the cash registers? How about the one-way aisles? How about contact tracing? How did contact tracing work out? What crap? It was all crap. And they made you... Walensky just tested positive again. This is like the second time in 3 weeks Walensky from the CDC has tested positive. She... get a vaccine like I'm getting. I'm just getting my 19th booster. And then 2 days later, Walensky tests positive for COVID. I mean, give me... They're still pushing this. This religion has been debunked. This is a failed religion. This is like the Delphi. The oracles have been sent home. The Vestal Virgins have been sent on their way. And yet you still have these people who are still practicing this debunked faith. 844-500-4242. We'll take more calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The Paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10, if it's used at all.
Looking for Howie Carr on YouTube? Well, you won't find him there.
Yee-hoo! Where are you?
Watch the show live and uncensored at rumble.com/The Howie Carr Show.
603, don't forget the 6-foot rule on the beach at the National Seashore. Yeah. I remember the guy, remember the surfer dude in California? Minding his own business, all by himself. They, you know, you saw the surveillance footage later on, and you see all of a sudden these cops are closing in on him. He's doing nothing, and he's all by himself on the Pacific Ocean, and they arrested him. Where does he go to get his whatever, how many hours or days he spent in lockup because of this silly crap? 508, you are the writer. Is sanctimonious the right word for these people? It's one of the many right words. I just looked at making a show of being morally superior to other people. Yeah, that's a good word, actually. They were sanctimonious. They were also imperious. They were giving you orders. They loved it. I think giving orders was even a bigger high, a bigger thrill than being morally superior to you. Because you're just keep giving order and being able to get away with it. And pretending that you were morally superior to people who looked at the charts and saw, hey, this is BS. And they don't even admit. And you know, and again, this woman, Emily Oster, has to say, well, what about other people who we had to deal with, people who said inject bleach? Who the hell ever said inject bleach? I mean, I don't want to just overdo it again. But I mean, it's just such, they keep repeating it. It's the big lie. No lie is too big for these people. Evan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey, thanks, Howie. So I've been in the Army Reserves for over 19 years now. And I've refused to get the shot and received my formal reprimand, and now I'm in danger of being kicked out of the Army. I'm on a no-pay status now, and I'm just wondering where I get my amnesty.
That's just... you don't, Evan, because you're not a member of a protected class like Dr. Emily Oster and Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Rochelle Walensky. Yeah, where do you go to get your amnesty? Where do all the state troopers go to get their amnesty? And the prison guards, the nurses. They're still making nurses in hospitals get another booster, even though it's clear that it's not protecting anybody from a disease that's probably not going to kill them anyway. So what's the whole point of it? And again, they can say, well, we didn't know at the time. Well, you damn well know now, don't you, Evan? And they're still going to get, you know, punish you for not bending a knee to their insanity. Good luck, Evan. I hope you don't get tossed out of the reserves. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Howie. How's it going?
Good.
As a physician myself, I just wanted to make a quick comment about this amnesty. All of us that have been saying the whole time about what's actually happening, and now and continuously, all these, you know, our medical licenses are on the line for that.
Right.
People are getting, you know, disenfranchised for speaking the truth. Where's the pushback on that? My wife was fired from her position in a prominent dermatology clinic for not following the mandates, and we're stymied. We've got no recourse here. And
Matt, I tried to get. I knew doctors when this thing was, and they were agreeing with me, and they were saying, you're right. You're looking at the right charts. This is silly, and this is ridiculous, and it's insane. And I'd say, do you want to come on the air? And they wouldn't come on the air, and I couldn't blame them in the least, because, like you said, they're gonna lose their ticket if they stepped out of line. And how is that science, by the way? When you have to obey the certain orthodoxy, I thought science was, you're continually testing to see what works and what doesn't work, aren't you supposed to anyway?
That's it, right there. You know.
Yeah, I know. And now, again, I come back to this. Most errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. Everybody can say that.
What's the saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions?
That's another way of saying it, Taylor. Thank you. That's exactly right. Doug, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Doug. Quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I, again, amnesty for all of us who lost jobs or work because we decided not to take a untested jab. And it goes on. And those doctors push it. So wait out. The fraud is coming. They obtained emergency use fraudulently. And all those amnesties for that protection, down.
Well, you know, they're going to challenge it. They say, well, we had, you indemnified us. We don't have to pay these multi-billion-dollar settlements. We'll see. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.